Israelites. I used to consider that ISIS is doing the biggest crime to the abducted, much worse than the ISIS. I never thought that a person will call his elder to come in front and stand along with him and ask about his age.
This is not beheading, it's
beheading. Anyway, again, happy birthday to Rusty Engel. He's young, 16, that is his age. His energy, his way of jog and his way of life, and his way of executing the things, I believe he is 16.
Amen.
And we are praising God for him, praising God for his leadership. And in personal level, he is my elder brother. So, I'm thankful to God for him. This morning, when we were worshiping God, I'm thanking God for that, you know, the freedom that we are having in worshiping Him. The freedom is much important nowadays. We are seeing that the freedom is being taken away from the people. 15 years, I lived in a place that's Middle East, where the freedom for worship was reduced or null. I lived that place. I know what is meant by freedom. If you are complaining about the heat or the time or the lighting in a sanctuary, think about those people in North Korea, in China, in Saudi Arabia, in other places of the world where they are not allowed to carry the Bible. So we should be thankful for that freedom. And during our worship, Brother Thomas Prakash said, the worship will cost you. That is the most important thing. Our worship must cost. When we are looking into that in a bigger picture, the Father already paid, the cost was already paid by Father. He sent His Son on the cross to enable us to worship Him. Without that spending, without that cross, we are not allowed to get into His presence. We are living in a world with a lot of issues around, but we do have hope. The biggest hope in our life is we are going to see our Lord face to face. A one-on-one. We'll be meeting Him in person. We'll be living in His presence forever. That is the hope that we are having. When I was working, one of my previous managers is living in New Jersey, and we used to have one-on-one. No, that's not what I'm going to have with my Lord. I will be sitting in front of Him. I will be living in His presence. What a great feeling, isn't it? When we are talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Creator. He is the one who makes everything complete. And He controls everything. He is my Lord. He is my God. And I am going to be with Him forever and ever. That is the joy. That is the happiness. Joy and happiness, I used to confuse myself. The happiness, for example, if I am having enough money, I am happy. But when it gets depleted or reduced, my happiness is gone. But the joy in my heart is totally different. That is permanent. In the midst of my problems, joy from my heart is coming out because I know there is a bigger picture in the scene which is bigger than my problems. I am seeing the problems through my Lord. I am not seeing Lord through my problems. I'm seeing my God first because He is bigger than my problems. That is the joy that I am having. The another aspect, the assurance of our salvation. He purchased my salvation. That is assurance. Confirmation of the Lordship of Jesus in our heart. And the non-revocable relationship with God are constant. And that is when the joy is permanent. You may be going through a difficult situation regarding to your health or finance. But you know, in the heart of the heart, you have the joy. Because God is in control. So that is the most important thing that we are enjoying. The promise of our Lord is that He will come and take us home is the most joyful thing in our heart. He will come back and He will take us home. By the way, it is not far away in the history. Just a few years back, in 2011, Harold Camping, family radio person, predicted that the world will end on May 21st. Oops. Nothing is Photoshop. This is real. In 2011, he put the billboard all over America and said, world is going to end. And he said, the rapture is going to be on May 21st. The end of the world is going to be October 21st. Very clear. And even, he sent his volunteers around. They went into the roadside and said, hey, here you go. It is going to be, you know, over. But I have seen some signboard. Please honk if you are going to give your car to us. And then that day passed. This was a scene in the various places. Have you noticed that? The dog is alone. Somebody was walking the dog and they are making joke saying that, you know, that person is gone, the dress is here, the dog is alone. Have you seen that? That's the way they put. And the, you know, business-minded America immediately started a business. Have you seen that Facebook? It says, after the rapture, pet care. It happened. They are talking about rapture. He specifically said, it is going to happen so and so days. And he was telling this one all over the world. And everybody made a joke out of that. It was non-biblical. Before his death, he confessed that he made a mistake. The word of God is clearly telling us that He is going to come back and take us home. It says, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. It is the word of God. It is unchanging. It will never change. It's going to happen. Immediate for a clarification. When you're looking into the timeline, there are two things that need to happen, isn't it? One is rapture and the second coming. Here are the differences between the rapture and the second coming. This is going to happen. As a Christian, We are asking this question. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Because we are looking forward. We want to see that we will be with him forever. Are we there yet? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for enabling us to worship you, Lord. Lord, you paid the price on that cross to help us to worship. Lord, now we are sitting together as a small congregation and trying to understand from the Word of God. Lord, let the Holy Spirit help us. Lord, I am weak, I am feeble. Lord, help me. Lord, help each of us, Lord, and help us to understand your mighty power through these verses. When we are looking into the situation at this point of time, when we are asking this question, are we there yet? Here are the road signs for the destination. When Jason and Jaron, when they were small, they used to ask me, are we there yet? And all of us have the same story when we were going for a trip, isn't it? The road signs are showing that we are getting closer and closer. Natural signs, the spiritual signs, sociological signs, technological signs, and political signs are pointing towards the destination. We are much closer than yesterday. Let's talk about the natural signs. In the Gospel, Luke 21:11 says, and there will be great earthquake in various places, and the famines and the pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. We know it. It's happening around. It is more than before. We heard of tsunami. If you are having iPhone and if you are breaking news, for the last 3 months, I was just watching, I was going through the history, weather channel and the breaking news regarding to the weather. There are 4 times they declared tsunami. Whether it happened or not, I don't know. Because there were earthquake in sea somewhere and they said tsunami is coming. It is getting more frequent. Weather is getting changed. A lot of things are getting changed. Now, after the natural signs, let's look into the spiritual signs. We know how the things are happening nowadays. The New Age cult is getting a lot of grip on the society. As I was reading recently, Islam is going to be the first religion and Christianity may move down. And no religion is going to move as in the third place. Hinduism is going to be in the third place. And Christianity will be losing its face eventually. A lot of spiritual changes are happening. They're changing the Bible according to their own need. That's what's happening. In sociological science, we know perverted living has become the norm. Everything is normal. Homosexuality is accepted. Abortion is a part of life. Using illegal drugs is no more a bad thing. The crime, exploitation, that is common. The family issues, the suppression inside the family is growing. And nobody got any problem. It is a part of life. In technological science. When Daniel asked the question about the end of world. This was the answer was given. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. The global village concept is already established. I can talk to my parents in India, and they are able to see me, and they are able to advise me what to do. And so the world has become very, very small. By the way, when Jimsy was in India and when I was here, she was asking me to see what I'm cooking. And she was directing me that how much salt I can add. But technology cannot solve all the problems, and I was buying pizza outside. So the technology is being used. So we are coming very closer. What is the political science? The political science are giving us more interesting picture. The restoration of Israel in 1948 is one of the biggest events, which is showing that, yes, the end is at hand. And we are hearing wars. We are hearing the change of political scenes every day. Yes, our Lord is coming. And yes, the rapture is going to happen soon. Are you ready? I'm looking forward for the time that I will be with him for and ever. We are in the verge of rapture. Before we are pondering to the exciting way of life, our life in eternity, we need to examine, we need to take the inventory of our life right now. How is your Christian life right now? We need to have a look, we need to have a deep look into our own life to see how we are doing. Are you ready? The vital signs of a Christian's life need to be examined. One, are you a worshipping Christian? Two, are you a witnessing Christian? Three, are you a waiting Christian? The last question is very interesting. If you are not waiting, you will start to put the billboards like what happened in 2011. You need to wait and to see that the Lord is coming. You are asked to wait. Otherwise, you may go and end up in registering your dogs and cats for the pet registry. But most important thing is, are you a worshipping Christian? Let's look into this particular verse. John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. One of the ordinary conversations in the Bible. To a lady, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving an ordinary answer to an ordinary lady. But it consists of a great message. And in it, it carries a very important information for us about regarding our worship. It tells us the right method, the right motto, and right means of worship. What is worship? When you are worshiping something, that must be bigger than you, isn't it? When you are worshiping anything, That should be, it's worthwhile to worship. Let's examine. You're worshiping a God who created the whole world. Not only the world, whole universe. You know you are coming to His presence. Will you be able to come as an easy way, just come and sit in front of Him? When you are reading the Revelation chapter 1, 17 and 18, it is talking about how John was worshipping Lord Jesus Christ. He prostrated and worshipped, fell on his face. Let me ask you, this morning when we worship, how we worship? Because we are sitting in front of a big God. How was our mindset? Is our worship was worthy enough to be acknowledged by God? Because we were sitting in front of His presence, the one who created everything. I mean, when I was studying this, I was feeling a lot of guilty in my heart. Am I giving that importance to my life, in worship life, when I'm coming to church? Am I doing that? Am I giving that importance? Am I thinking that I'm sitting that in the presence of that big God? I'm asking back to myself, to others, and to the children. When we were worshiping Him, you know whom you're worshiping. You know the importance of that worship. It is not just coming here and listening to the songs or some verses. No, you are sitting in front of a God who is powerful, who created everything, and you are sitting in His presence. Unlike John, are you worshipping Him in a way that, you know, just flattened in the presence, in His presence? What is your attitude? When you look into the verse, the previous verse, but the hour is coming and now is. You know what enabled us to worship the Lord? You know when Lord Jesus Christ was telling about this? He said, but the hour is coming and now is. When we are reading the Bible, when God, Jesus Christ is talking about the hour and now it is, it means about something to do with His death. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Because of His death, because of His burial and because of His resurrection, that you are allowed to worship Him. Death of the Lord is the reason which enabled us to worship Him. Because the hour is already happened. And that's why you are able to worship. And if you look into the verse again, have you seen the Father seeking? In that simple verse, He's talking about Father is seeking. Father is seeking true worshipper. This morning when you are worshipping, the same time the Father was seeking for the true worshippers among us. Can you confirm that you are a true worshipper in this morning? The Father is seeking the true worshippers. And it says, the Father, the worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. If you are worshipping Him in spirit and truth, that's what Father is seeking. How was your worship in this morning? Examine yourself. When I was reading this verse, I was wondering about that. Father is seeking the true worshippers who worship him in truth and spirit. I was challenged about my worship. What is your spirituality? Is it growing or it is only for Sunday? Is it growing by reading the word of God? Is it growing by sitting along with him on a quiet time? Are you worshipping him in truth? In a sincere way? A husband relationship with his wife is sincere. That's what it's supposed to be. Is your relationship with the Lord is sincere? That's a question. When a problem comes, am I going away from his presence and trying to find some other solution to forget it? On drinks maybe? Is my relationship is sincere with God? When I was reading this verse, I was also thinking about another verse. There are two seekers in the Bible, we can see. Jesus the seeker, Father the seeker. In Luke 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Lord Jesus Christ was seeking those who are lost. And he paid the price. That is the first seeker. The second seeker is Father. He is seeking for those who are worshipping him in truth and spirit. Father is seeking true worshippers from the saved ones. Are you one of them? See the verse here. And now is when the true worshippers will worship Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking. The Father is seeking those who are saved by Lord Jesus Christ. Among that group, he's trying to find out the true worshippers. You are saved by the blood of Christ. He paid the price on the cross for you. Among them, God is seeking the true worshippers. Because you need to worship him in truth and spirit. Are you one of them? Son was seeking for the lost. Father is seeking for the true worshippers. How Father will see you? What is your situation? When Father is looking at you for your worship, are you qualified to be considered as a true worshipper? This question is not only for one person or others or to one group of people. It is for all of us. For the young to adult, are you a true worshipper? If you are saying you are a true worshipper, then there are two things that we have to be careful about. Nature of your worship. There are two things in the nature of true worship, in the worship. One is, it should be in spirit. And the second is, it must be in truth. I put the verses there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. She was worshipping. The Lord opened her heart to hear the things spoken by Paul. So once she was in worshipping God, the God opened her heart. So then she understands the more important things in her life. Is your worship is in spirit? In Matthew chapter 2, verse 2 says, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. In truth are you worshipping. They came from faraway land to worship him. They are very truthful. They said they want to worship him. This morning, how was your nature of worship? Have you worshipped our God in spirit? Have you worshipped him in truth, in real need, in that sincerity? Just a great worship this morning. But examine ourselves. Worship means cost. Have you paid the price? Have you worshipped him in spirit and in truth? What's the nature of your worship? Again, the same question. In spirit and truth? Then the second portion is the necessity of spiritual worship. The verse it says here, those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. It is a must. If you examine the Gospel of John, you will see there are three musts in that Gospel. John chapter 3 verse 7 says, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." So there is no flexibility there. You must be born again. You may have born in a Christian family, maybe on a Christian parents, but you need to have a born again experience. What is born again experience? To have a personal relationship with God, to accept him as your personal savior. It is not a complicated chemical, theological problems or anything. It is simple. Accept him. Be born again. Just give your life to God. Just to establish that life. Accept the Lordship of Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge each of you, if any of us is still having a confusion about the born again life, anytime you have it, you will be born again. Once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and accept him as your God and the personal Savior, then you are born again. There are no flexibility allowed on that. That is talking about the Holy Spirit in your life. You must be born again. One of the musts from the Gospel of John. Second one, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Talking about Lord Jesus Christ. The second must. Without the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot claim any salvation. So that is another must used. The third must is from the same verse. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So three must. If you're not fulfilling those standards, we are in trouble. You will be either an ignorant worshipper or you will be a vain worshipper. An ignorant worshipper. I am coming here in the morning of Sunday, arranging everything, singing great. No, I cannot sing. I can read the Bible verses. But you know, it is an ignorant worship. John chapter 4 verse 22 says, "You worship what you do not know." You do not know the importance of God. The God who created all this world, you do not know his importance. And you are coming here just like, and sitting in the front row and just looking and just listening. You are an ignorant worshipper. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. What is your worship? Are you giving that importance to the worship service? Again, in Acts chapter 17, verse 22 through 23, please read. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I perceive that in all these things, all things, you are very religious, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, even found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, therefore one whom you worship, without knowing him, I proclaim to you. It's a great way of introducing Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? What type of worship you are having? Is your worship ignorant? You are born again Christians, that's what we are saying. When you are coming here in the morning of Sunday, and if you are sitting without knowing what you are worshipping, without giving that importance of that God, your worship is wasted. It is ignorant. Otherwise, it will be a vain worship. Hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me. Teaching as doctrines the commandments. My heart is away from God. I do not know what I am doing. It is a lip service. Let me close this. Are you a true worshiper? Do you know what you're worshiping? If not, please reconsider. Jesus saved you on the cross. Father is seeking a true worship. When Father is seeking, there are two conditions. You should know what you're worshiping. In truth and in spirit. And there are three must be read from the gospel. And those three must, there is no flexibility for that. You must worship him in truth and spirit. Are you a true worshiper? You may be waiting for rapture. If you are hearing a horn somewhere from a truck, you may be thinking that is a trumpet. Because that much you are thrilled to go away from here, isn't it? You are looking for rapture. But how is your worship? What are the things what I just said? It's a question towards me. I am guilty. Sometimes I am not worshipping him in the proper sense what it says. Father is seeking among those who are saved for a true worship. May I request Prakash to conclude this way.
Father, we thank you for this time. We have to listen to your word. Father, we thank you for speaking to us. Father, we do recognize how often we fall short of the standards that you have given us in your word to be true worshipers. Father, we do realize that we have to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for opening up your scriptures and teaching us from regarding the subject of worship this morning. Father, we do understand how important it is to you because you seek such to worship you. Father, it is something that we are asked to fulfill, that desire that you have in your heart to receive worship from us who has been saved by your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by being that perfect sacrifice for us on that cross of Calvary. Father, this morning we thank you again for enabling us to come together as a body of believers locally to once again to remember your son because of what he has done for us, that we could once again worship you. Father, this morning, as we conclude this meeting, and as we anticipate the week before us, we pray and thank you for your presence with us. We pray for your leading and your direction in our lives as we mingle with those around us in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, that we may shine forth the light of Christ, that they might see the one who saved us, in us. Father, we pray for those that have needs this morning. We pray for those that are not with us. We just come with them all into your care this morning. We especially pray for those who are ill and those that need surgeries this coming week. We pray for your presence with them and the families, that you might comfort and encourage them. Father, we pray for the week before us as we look forward to the Wednesday night prayer meeting and other plans that we have made. We pray for your blessings and your leading in everything, that your name be glorified in and through our lives. We thank you, Father, for gathering us once again this Lord's Day to worship you. We thank you for speaking to us. We pray that you bless the rest of the day for us and the rest of the week, so that we can once again come together the following week in your will to worship you again. It is in Christ's precious name. Amen.